Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. If you haven't tuned in before, this is a podcast where we are running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. Right now we're up to episode 14 of season 6. It's called Face of the Enemy. This was written by Naren Shankar. The story goes to Rene Echevarria, directed by Gabriel Beaumont, and it aired back on February 8th, 1993. In this episode, Troy is captured and forced to masquerade as a Romulan intelligence officer in a plot to aid the defection of several high-ranking Romulan officials. Modi is here to talk about this one. So right after this, we're going to play an audio clip. And right after that, me and Modi are going to come back and we're going to break down Face of the Enemy.
Major, welcome to our table.
Commander,
I suggest you try the Venerine. It's quite good. I realize that it's nothing compared to what you're accustomed to on Romulus. But you could at least try the Venerine.
I've smelled better Venerine on prison ships.
No doubt.
Modi, I'm happy to share a very, very important moment in Star Trek with you. Something that has lasting impact on the rest of the series. This series, other series, cinema. This is the appearance of Worf's ponytail.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So what'd you think of that?
I didn't notice. I guess it just looks so natural.
I noticed it. Maybe that's the side effect of watching 150 episodes in a row, but it's similar to when the uniforms changed in season 3. You can tell you're in another era of the show by how Worf's hair looks, and it really stuck out to me. I appreciated it greatly. But anyway, if you're not up to par with Star Trek trivia, that means we're talking about Face of the Enemy, which is yet another Troy episode for you.
Yes.
So
I'm the expert around here, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't do it intentionally. It's just I don't mind. Yeah, this is a very good episode, but I'm a little bit surprised by there's a lot of Troy episodes in this show. And
there is.
I don't know if it deserves it, if the character deserves having all these episodes.
I don't know. I mean, you'd think that they would be better. They'd have a higher win percentage with those, but given that they have so many, but there's very, very few good ones.
I'm a little bit surprised, I guess, by the fact that I feel like there's a lot more medical stories that they could have done and involved Crusher, but she's really not that big of a player in a lot of stories. Like she has very few episodes each season. Troy always has two at least, and I just think it's weird. I mean, I will say that this episode uses the Troy character traits, her empathic abilities, in a way that actually makes sense, which is always a plus for a Troy episode. So this is Face of the Enemy. Troy wakes up as on a Romulan ship, surgically altered to be a Romulan. Another Romulan comes in and tells her that she has to pretend to be a member of the Tal Shiar, which is basically the CIA of Romulus, and she needs to transport these cargo packages to the Federation, and the cargo are Romulan politicians who are trying to defect. So this is blowout from Unification back in season 5, where Spock is now on Romulus and he's doing this underground revolution thing. And apparently some of the Romulan senators are being shipped off to the Federation to defect. So let's start with, I don't want your general thoughts here. Let's start before we get into the character stuff. What do you think about this episode in terms of what it does for the Romulans?
I really enjoyed the dynamic there of like showing the how there's different levels of craziness with Romulans and how they have had the hierarchies and how it works. I liked seeing the inner workings of that. It told us more about how this whole thing works in this episode than ever before, I feel like.
Yeah, I think it's more than the entire Romulan experience in the previous TOS and this.
There's more lore inferred here than anywhere else, I feel like. And it's not like, it doesn't hit you over the head with it. It does it very in a very like subtle way of, they don't need to explain the Tal Shiar. They just need to explain that people are scared of them and why they're scared of them, and don't have to explain anything else about it, really.
Yes.
Except that there's this shadowy higher up organization within the organization kind of thing.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I guess the way to think about them is that they're sort of the CIA gone crazy. That they're sort of, they'll eventually turn this into the way the Cardassians work. So on a meta level, I kind of have a harder time with this one, the way that they treat the Romulans, even though I feel the Romulans are dying for one episode that just explains them, and this one tries to do it. It leaves a little bit, I feel the Romulans are the most nonsensical of the races that we spend a lot of time with. And I mean that in a way that I don't really understand what their ethos is, even though we have a defector in this episode, a human defector who went to Romulus, who comes on, and we had so many opportunities for him to explain it, and he does it in very vague terms.
Yeah, missed opportunities there. But I mean, yeah, they don't, you can't get too into the minutia of it without like making people like not care anymore.
Right. Almost. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You gotta like, yeah, there's a certain type of fan that's going to love that kind of thing. There's also a certain kind of fan that's not.
Yep.
And so if you play it subtly, you can let, you know, the people who are really into it, you know, fill in the blanks, and the people who are just like, you know, just want to watch a show can just watch the show.
Yeah. 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 I agree with that. I think it's, I think that they do a good job here of balancing out what they're trying to do with the Romulans. Like, the Tal Shiar makes a lot of sense. You need to have this organization because it has to make sense for Troi to be able to order her around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they have to do that, order the Romulan commander around. They do that. I guess I feel that it kind of reminded me a little bit of the First Contact episode, where First Contact is the one where Riker is pretending to be an alien on the planet and he gets in an accident and they discover that he's human.
Yep, then he hooks up with one of the people. Yeah, there. Yep, totally remember the part.
Has sex with a nurse who wants to have sex with an alien, and he does that willingly. But it's basically a Prime Directive episode.
Uh-huh.
My criticism of that episode was, I thought that episode wouldn't have been so much stronger if our cast was only basically in a cameo appearance for it.
Yeah.
Like, there's a scene where Picard beams down to talk to them about it, and it's like, oh, that would have been really cool if that was all that we saw of the cast, and the episode was really just us focusing with this new alien characters.
Yeah, that'd have been really cool.
Because you would have seen the Federation as the alien in that episode. Right.
Yeah, that would be cool. That would be a cool episode. And that would have worked here. Make this an episode of Star Trek Kazara or whatever it's called, and make that the entire episode, and you know, and treat it like you're caring about the affairs of this ship, and start it off with like a captain's log of whatever Commander Toreth.
Yes,
Kazara. Yeah, so yeah. Start with that. Do Commander Toreth's log, and
we picked up
really getting deep into it. I would like that.
I think that's exactly what I think this episode should have done. They do a good job. Like, I don't think it's a bad thing that the episode what it does here, but. I'm getting to a point where I've seen enough of the episodes where I really want an episode that almost focuses on something outside the crew in a way, mm-hmm. to see like how things work. And because I like the Romulan interplay here. I like the I think his name is Nevek, the guy who's trying to guide Troi towards her her final answer. The Torath, I guess, is the commander. I like the interplay there. I like. What do you think of the plot? Do you think that the Romulan plot is firing on all cylinders here?
I feel like, I don't know. Toreth was really great. First of all,
The commander. Yeah,
the commander here. Yeah, and I don't know. I kind of wish there was a little bit more of her scheming to reveal this person or get over, not necessarily because she doesn't suspect anything's wrong here,
right?
But some type of scheme she would have to try to, you know, get on top of this person, like get above them somehow. Because I feel like that's kind of what the Romulans are all about. They kind of fight dirty. They have this hierarchy that they respect, but they always try to like push each other under the bus in order to get ahead.
I
would like to see some of that going on, possibly, like trying to find a way for her to screw up. She does do a little bit of that, which I really enjoyed, but I feel like there might have been something else. Again, if you maybe focus the episode more on the Romulan ship more, maybe that would happen.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
The plot itself, I did think it works, and it works at a fast pace. There's a lot to this episode. It's nonstop.
Yeah, I think
it's almost relentless.
I think I agree. I think it's relentless to the point where it's almost impossible for their plan to work. You know,
yeah.
Like there's so much changing all the time when they have to blow up the freighter that they're supposed to do, and then they're like, oh, she told me to do it. And
yeah.
I feel that Nevek is putting a lot of the burden on Troy throughout this episode to a point that I don't think it's in his best interest. Like, he should tell her a little bit more information. And a lot of it's narrative driven. They have the one scene where he's like, I can't tell you this yet because the plot demands that you don't know what's going to happen. And there's no reason not to tell her anything. But I liked it. I thought the way they played it was good. I think my only real problem with it, I do really like this episode. My main problem is, I think, comes from I'm not sure how the Romulans are supposed to be, what their ethos is. Because you were talking about the dining room scene, right?
Yeah.
The commander there is trying, it seems like she's trying to out Troy, right? Because she's asking her to like pass basically the Romulan macaroni and cheese or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And Troy doesn't know what it is. But Troy does not pick up the right food.
She plays it so good, though. I loved her reaction to it and the lines there. It's amazing.
Yes, yeah. But she gets out of it. I feel like what they're hinting at is something more suspicious than what's actually going on there.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
Yeah, she's just trying to knock her down a peg, I feel like.
And, yeah, I think that's
not
think that's
suspicious
true.
Of anything. But the way it plays off, it's like Troy's trying to cover and, you know, doesn't falter. And it's pretty amazing, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
That scene. But it doesn't come off the right way. And I think what I was saying before, that they're trying to kind of throw each other on the bus so they can get ahead kind of thing, is what's going on. Because she's sitting there with her buddies carousing and building herself up as this brilliant commander with her stories and stuff like that. So it's all bravado and ego and trying to build herself up, make them feel lesser. And then she has this other like usurper here to contend with.
Yep.
And she's trying to get herself, it plays suspicious, but it's not, it shouldn't. Probably.
I see. That's probably that's a good reading, I think, of that scene, actually. Yeah. I guess it all comes back to me for the Romulan thing. Like, the one bit of trivia I'll tell you right now is that apparently the writer of the episode was not happy with the bridge design of the Romulan ship. I guess he had written out a very detailed description of what he thought Romulan bridges would look like. We haven't seen one yet. And he thought that the Romulan bridge would basically be the nose of the Warbird, right? So it's like a triangular room. And the commander stands at the back of the room on sort of a balcony, but no one is behind them because the Romulans don't trust anybody.
Oh, yeah. That'd be kind of interesting.
So the commander is looking out at everybody and standing. There's no chair. And the people can't get behind them, you know, figuratively or literally in this case. Which I think is interesting. It's just, to me, the Romulans vacillate between sort of being too Klingon-y. They love this like battle thing, and they love like the honor of fighting, and I don't know if that really works with their characterization. You know what I mean?
It's a warrior culture adopted for modern politics, almost, is what it feels like.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. I picture them more like Cold War people.
Yeah, that's how I think that's how it's supposed to be. Like they are. This is the Cold War comparison. Analogy here,
yeah,
on the show. But and again, I guess that is what they're playing into, maybe a little bit of the warrior culture being civilized kind of thing. And I don't know, like, but I do what you see what you're saying, that they kind of a lot of times when they're writing a Romulan script, it could just easily be a Klingon script almost.
Yes, they're more like polite, basically. Like they don't yell about things. But yeah, that's I think we've talked enough about the Romulans. I really do feel that the Romulans are sort of the underutilized race in Star Trek: The Next Generation.
I like the explanation from the human, though.
Yeah, that told us a lot more about the culture. Yes.
Yeah, and I thought that his character in that plotline was pretty interesting, and his explanation of to Picard of why he came back was that, you know, as I grow up, I see the gray area, and it's everything's not black and white like they want it to be.
Right.
And it's less appealing to be black and white like that.
I thought that.
I like that explanation, and Picard immediately gets it too, which I like too.
Yes, I think it's really well written. How I thought that whole subplot was fascinating because it's another thing I would have loved to see an episode about a human defector going mm-hmm. somewhere else because that feels very un-TNG. That's definitely mm-hmm. a non-Gene Roddenberry idea. And I just like the fact that like he gets their haircut and he wears their clothing and everything.
Yeah,
like
it's
that.
So weird. It's like, oh gosh, so good, so good.
And I think the actor who plays that guy is really great. I think he's written really well. Like he's kind of a remorseful, like, oh, I made a youthful mistake that kind of ruined my life at this yeah. point. And I was longing for more insight. He describes the Romulans as having a great moral clarity, which is a cool idea. I don't mm-hmm. think they ever come across that way. I don't know. Like, would you have gone deeper with his story angle, or were you happy with the amount of stuff that we got from him?
I would say I'm happy with the amount of stuff he was giving us. The way I took it, as far as, like, he wasn't defecting to the Romulan military. He was just defecting to be a citizen of yep. the Romulan Empire. And when he talks about the clarity of morality in there, and I feel like that's like the average citizen for the Romulans. They're not the warriors. They're just the people who have a certain mindset about the world.
Sure.
Whereas the military, really with the show, we only see the military side of things with the Romulans. They have a different, like, their world is totally different from the way I think that the regular Romulan, you know, farmers or whatever would be like.
Right, yeah.
So when he's talking more about, like, their actual ethos that we're looking for in the military, that's where he's finding it, kind
I see.
Of thing. And the military is just a total different animal where they are trying to, it may be more corrupt or something like that, where they're trying to get over on each other so they can get the bigger house or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's maybe the difference between what he's seeing and then he's learning as time goes on with the Romulan Empire.
Right, because, I mean, I think that they're, like, it's even in their name, right? That, like, they're a reference to Roman mythology. Mm-hmm. Like, so the Senate, which they do have a Senate, seems like it should be a very prominent part of Romulan, like, the face of Romulan society.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I feel if you were to clarify the Romulans, I'd have it be the Senate, which is, like, the people. The people of Romulus, like you're saying, are sort of philosophical mm-hmm. more, and like they believe in like sort of democracy and stuff like that. And the military and the Tal Shiar are more, you can relate it to modern day, like the shadowy agencies of the governments that have to do
right,
things that
yeah,
no one's
they're
really.
They're the people that get things done behind the scenes and
right.
they're the ones that hold this whole thing together. But
and
like,
abuse their power sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. Like they that. Take advantage of it, yeah.
It's surprising to me that as obviously as they are grafted into that thing, they never really do anything with it. They're interested in sort of the Romulan military, which is too bad. But yeah, so we have the defector. Defector is very interesting to me. Let's talk about the meat and potatoes of this episode, I guess, which is Troi. It's a Troi episode, and her empathic powers help her get out of a couple jams here. It's fortunate that she can read the minds of the Romulans, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first time I think anyone has ever said, "Am I lying?" And she says, "No." And they say, "Then that's all you need." Like,
I wish she would have just broken me, like, you know, this is all bullshit. Anyways, I have no idea if you're lying or not.
That's right.
It would have been. It would turned out that this is like the show Psych, where she's been putting this on the entire time, and she doesn't actually have any powers. She's just faking it the entire time. No one ever actually asked point blank if they're lying.
Do you think that they targeted Troi? Do they say that in this episode? They do, I guess.
Like, I feel like, yeah, I feel like they handpicked her. Again, the Romulans seem to like have extensive knowledge of the inner workings of the Federation because they handpicked Geordi for that one episode where they use his visor to destroy the ship, and then or assassinate that one guy, and then they handpicked Troi here to do the counterintelligence stuff.
Yeah,
yeah.
They seem to know, and they're able to get into the Federation very easily, apparently.
Very easily.
Yeah.
Yeah. They just pick her up off of, well, she was at some conference or something. Yeah, the cover was for, I guess. I don't know.
I needed the cold open to be the conference, although it's a great cold open. I did like
the cold open, except you could see that it's, like, her, maybe I have the brightness up far, too far on my TV, but you could definitely see who it is and what they're wearing from the very beginning.
Yes.
And then she looks in the mirror and she's like, I'm like, no, we're aware. We're already with you here.
I thought they
you
did
just
kids both.
Yourself. It's not shocking.
They also had her talk a little bit too much. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. You can recognize
you can tell
her
who
voice.
It is. Yeah.
So
you can tell she's wearing something that's not right.
Yes. Yeah. And you could see the outline, the harsh Romulan haircut
the
outline.
The pointy outfit, too. Yeah.
The pointy outfit. I do like the Romulan outfits.
This looks pretty good, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, the Troi thing here is she has to work on this plot to get through this sort of defection of Romulan ambassadors or senators or something that Spock has been doing. This is the last we're going to hear about Spock on Romulus.
That's a shame.
Which is a shame, because it feels like there's a lot of potential here.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, so you thought that the plot, the narrative itself, worked pretty well in this episode in terms of how things layered on. I certainly did.
I do. I liked how it started with the cold open, and from start to finish, it was like there was no filler in this episode. Even the scenes that are slower, where there's the dinner, it's all tense and it's all necessary.
Yeah, yeah,
I liked it.
Yeah, that's a good point. It does move briskly and very well. They reveal, even though you can kind of see the strings of the narrative, like when they reveal that the cargo are Romulans at the right point. You know, it's all that kind of stuff. I was effectively confused by how she resolves it by the disruptor beam. I don't know what they do. The disruptor beam doesn't do damage, it instead beams them over.
Yeah, she must have been, I mean, he must have been in cahoots. It wasn't sad, but like, he must have been doing something, because he was the one pressing the buttons there.
Yeah.
He must have like discharged it and then fired it, kind of thing, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just odd. I mean, he also had somebody else, some other supporter someplace on the ship, because he was like,
oh, the engineer.
Well, if so-and-so in engineering is sympathetic to the cause, then we're set.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know that for sure. It all kind of works out naturally. You never really address it, but apparently they were.
Yeah, that's true. It is kind of a plot that had to be going
convenient.
On off camera.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they did it.
I feel like if you're a spy, you know, working against the enemy and double agent, you don't, it's not the kind of thing you can just be like, hey, I wonder if I can get him to our side by revealing myself to him. Like, I feel like in this culture,
yeah,
if everything we've seen from the Romulans so far, you are never to speak with this to anyone outside of people you know you can trust from the outset without, you know,
or you have something
guessing.
On. You can,
or
like,
yeah, you have something to blackmail somebody or something like that.
Yeah.
That would be more likely to work rather than just hoping he's sympathetic to your cause. If you had some type of influence, like, I'm just going to force him at gunpoint to do this and threaten his family and it'll get done.
Yep.
That would work. That I would believe. But the fact that just be like, well, hey, you want to help us out with this thing? I don't know. Maybe he's been scouting this guy for a long time, but maybe.
Did you feel Troy's character? I feel this episode is kind of regarded as a big swing for Troi. It's not quite the chain of command swing where she's now wearing the Starfleet uniform, the blue uniform, but it's similar to that, and they're happening very close to each other. Do you feel this episode showed you another side of Troi that you haven't quite seen before?
Definitely. I would say that, like, and I liked the way it developed very quickly, because they don't have a lot of time on this episode, because it is jam-packed, but like, her first introduction to Commander Torrith, she's like herself still. And then the second line of dialogue with Torrith, she's already in this Romulan character. Like, it's almost immediate as far as her transformation, but like, she falls into it really well, and she makes for a pretty good Romulan, I think.
Yeah, yeah. She has one scene where she gets a little bit shouty when she's yelling at Nevek or whatever.
Yeah, and she like starts ordering him around. Like, she'll say, like, I know you're not around. You can't boss me around. You're nobody to me. Yeah,
that's how
it still works. Like, he intimidates him.
It works on the threat of the Romulan duplicity. Like, you know, informing them. I mean, the traitor's bad in any society, but it seems to be extremely bad in this Romulan society. Mm-hmm. I suppose.
Oh, yeah, he knows that. Yeah, it's going to be certain death. Obviously.
Yeah.
There's no trials here. Like, it's you die, you get shoved out an airlock, kind of thing.
So I feel it also kind of reminds me of Balance of Terror, because we get the most sort of experience of being under cloak that you hardly ever see. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, you know, Balance of Terror is just a submarine movie, like a sub-battle movie on Star Trek. And because the cloaking allows you to basically be, you know, sonar invisible or whatever, radar invisible. Mm-hmm. And it's I liked the game of chicken that they play with the ship, where the Enterprise can sense them, but then they start moving closer to the ship and the Enterprise has to give in on the game.
That's extremely tense too.
Yeah.
Like, even that like, so it's, you have the stuff on the Enterprise bridge, which is tense, and the stuff on the Romulan bridge, which is equally tense in a different way.
Yeah.
I liked it. I liked it a bit.
Yeah, very, very sub badly, and I appreciate that stuff. And I think this is it's kind of important for all the nerds out there who love this stuff. This is the episode that I think finalizes the idea that shields have to drop when they go to cloak.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty crucial point of this. I mean, it's the whole resolution here, basically.
Yes, yeah.
That they can't do it all at once kind of thing.
Right, you have that window, as long as you have a lock on them. Before, they had revealed that they can't fire weapons under cloak, because that would be
too
basically
easy.
Unfair. Yeah,
too easy.
Too easy. So, but this
war's
is
over,
first...
guys. We can fire weapons under all cloak now.
I know. I mean, and... You'd have to assume
it's the
that
it's the first strike capability that you basically it's the Cold War references.
You have to make that first shot count. You have to make it be very, very impressive. And so this is just, they reveal that when they cloak, you could beam people on and off the ship, which comes in handy at the end here. I don't feel like I'm having a hard time talking about this episode, but I think it's a very strong episode that is. A plot we haven't seen before, so that's mm-hmm. always kind of appreciated. Mm-hmm. And B, it's a nice insight into an alien species that we are desperately hoping to get more out of, which is good. Yeah, that's it. Face of the Enemy. It's kind of an interesting mm-hmm. little episode. So we're going to play a audio clip. We're going to come back, and we're going to give our final thoughts about this pretty good episode, Face of the Enemy.
What we want is to get the dissidents to safety. Now answer the question, is there a way?
If there were, I wouldn't do it.
Yes, you will.
Counselor.
We're not playing it your way anymore, Nevek. I've been kidnapped, surgically altered, put in danger. I've gone along with all your plans. Now you are going to listen to me. You find a way to let the Enterprise track us. Or I will go to Toreth and tell her I've discovered you're a traitor. I'll have you ejected into space. Is that clear, Subcommander?
Face of the Enemy. We're going to give our ratings. So, guys, if you're on YouTube, you can click in the upper right-hand corner of the video. There's a little poll feature. You can vote on what you think this episode would be on our scale of 1 to 5. And I think I'll go first, because you went first with the last one.
Sure.
I enjoy this episode. We also just got done talking about Aquiel. And I think that there's sort of interesting comparisons to each other, because the narrative of this one is so much tighter than Aquiel. And it just shows how much like a better understanding of what your script is about leads to a better script. And as crazy as that sounds. And so this one is very well thought out, and it's a very interesting idea that they managed to do a lot with. My one critique would be it hints at the Romulans in a way that I wish there was more of them. I don't think we're going to see much more of them in terms of exposing their backstory and everything like that. But I think it's a really solid episode. It's definitely the best Troi episode that she has. Good use of her empathic powers, good use of her as a character and all that. I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5. It's a strong second tier episode for me, I think. Modi, what do you think?
I would agree. I think my score for this definitely would be 4 out of 5. And it's a very relentless and tight, well-focused episode. All of that, like you compare to the previous episode, all of that red herring stuff is gone here. It's straightforward and just plays on that tension of, you know how this is going to go if it goes wrong. And it works very nicely. Troi, the character is fantastic in her role, and it fits the character of Troi, but it also you don't ever like not buy it ever. Even though she is like coming off this totally different scary person, it still always works. That she's capable of these things, and it's nice to see a nice episode for her for once.
It was originally written as a Crusher episode. I don't know if that's interesting to you. It obviously makes much more sense as a Troy.
This is better. Yeah. I think this is better. Yeah.
You have to have the empath, right? That's the only way to make the things work here.
Well, Crusher is very clever. She might be able to pull it off as far as like a bluff and that kind of thing.
That's true. She wouldn't have the
inside knowledge that the Troy can bring to the table. It explains it a little bit better, I think.
Well, they'd have to come up with a way. They'd have to come up with a different story for Crusher where she could because the big use of Troy's empathy here is where she tells them that the freighter is going to betray them and they blow it up. Because Crusher would have no way of doing that.
Right.
So you need to come up with something. But so yeah, before we sign off, why not a five? I've asked you this before when you give 4 out of 5s.
That's a good point. I mean, it could easily be a five. It doesn't. It could be a five for me.
Could be a five for you.
Let's say it's still 4.5 because it really there isn't nothing that they did wrong here.
No. Yeah.
And you did mention that they do leave you wanting more from the Romulans. That's a good problem to have. I mean, that means they did their job well if they leave you wanting more information. And not without feeling like you're missing any information, just feeling like you want to get more into that world. That's a really good problem. I'll go 4.5 then. You've convinced me. You've helped this episode earn another half a point. Congratulations.
Yeah, I think it fits on my scale. It's easily an episode I could show to a non-fan.
Yeah,
I think
it's a good example of a good episode.
Yeah, it's that tier. It's strong. And I enjoy it. It's been good. All right, cool. Guys, thank you very much for listening. If you're on YouTube, like in the comments, appreciate it. If you're on iTunes, rating review helps get the show out there. If you enjoy the show and you've been following for a while, why don't you follow us on patreon.com/thepenskypodcast and give a couple bucks. You get exclusive content. I don't know. It'll probably be out, but we did Galaxy Quest this month for June. So that'll be the exclusive content for that. And facebook.com/thepenskypodcast. You can leave a like and a comment. And it's a more conducive atmosphere for discussion, I guess, on Facebook. But anyway, guys, thank you very much for listening. Modi, thank you for coming on.
Anytime.
Guys, you can check out Modi's channel on YouTube. I'll put a link to it in this video. And if you're on iTunes, just type in Modi Operandis on YouTube and it'll pop him right up there. And we're halfway through season 6, I think. Impressive, right?
Yeah. getting up there. This is where it turns into a good season now.
It is. This is where the turn comes. Everything is going to change from this point on. Oh, it's already started, I guess. Except for Aquiel, which was
a misstep that I have to deal with. Yeah,
two steps forward, one step back. That's the way it works. Guys, thank you very much, and I will be back with what the hell comes after this. It is a cookie goes to the first person who gets it. It goes to it's Tapestry.
Tapq Street.
There, it's Tapq Street. Yes, exactly. So Tapq Street will be up next. That's a good one too. See ya.